comes those to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Sutter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. As on this Friday, bring in my good buddy and colleague, Connor Halley from the Jason Greger Show on TSN 1260. You can connect with him on Twitter at Connor Halley. Con man, what's shaking on this Friday?
Oh, Hernan, not too much, my friend. Just sitting here getting ready for the show and looking out, enjoying this rainy weather. Not the best day, but what can you do? It's still Friday, so we'll still try to be positive here.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, with COVID cases crazy all over our country, and you know, you got to keep it positive sometimes. You got to look at the good things in life. Con man, not a lot of news when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. As expected, we wait on the Oscar Klefbom decision. Is he going to opt out of this year, rehab his shoulder, whatever the injury is, or if he's going to play? But there is some news, as yesterday, Mitchell Miller, of course, the Arizona Coyotes' fourth-round pick in this year's draft. It was their first, because they didn't have a pick in the first three rounds. The Coyotes renounced his rights yesterday, and then today the University of North Dakota hockey team announced that Miller will no longer be part of their team. Listen, we've all been 14. We've all done dumb things, Connor. But reading the story, it made your heart hurt to see what he put that kid through. And I guess the saddest part is that he really hasn't shown a lot of remorse, or genuine remorse, I guess. You look at the transcripts out there when he was in court, and even the judge looked at him. He said, "I don't really think you're sorry. I think you're just upset because this is going to, you know, make it to the public." And then the Isaiah's family saying, "Hey, you know, he's never really apologized." Like, it's just a sad story. Just your thoughts on what's going on here, and with the Coyotes and the University of North Dakota letting him go.
Hernan, it's really just kind of a sad story all around. I mean, this poor victim, you know, for no fault of his own, gets bullied and made fun of and mocked and forced to do just disgusting things. You go back to what was being reported, you know, having to lick a candy that was put in a urinal. I mean, that's disgusting. And yeah, we've all done dumb things when we were 14, 15, whatever, but to the extent that they did, I mean, that's hateful. That's not dumb. That's hateful. It's racist, and it's just disturbing. So for the people that have tried to play it off, and I know you've seen it, I've seen it on our text line at 10-12-60, people saying he's 14. Well, yeah, we were all 14 and all did dumb things. But to that extent, no, we haven't all done things like that. So you do have to be held accountable for your actions. And I applaud the University of North Dakota. I mean, that's a prestigious university when it comes to their hockey program. A lot of great alumni, and you know, it's not a right to play there. You know, that's something that is a privilege for these guys. You get to go play on their rink. It's like an NHL quality rink, their whole facility. You don't just get to play there because you're good. You have to be a standing or a upstanding person. And to this point, it doesn't look like Miller is. I mean, just the things that we've heard, and the most disturbing part of it is, you know, he's matured. He's become a man. He's 18. And he still hasn't apologized. And yeah. I know Matt Iwanek was saying today there was a discussion of him actually trying to intimidate the victim, Isaiah, when he was 16. Like, it didn't just go away. And it's to me, it's obvious. It was an easy decision for the University of North Dakota. Move on from this guy. You don't want him involved with your program. You don't want him involved with your university. And it's just another reminder that, you know, actions have consequences. He's not being canceled. He's still allowed to go play hockey elsewhere. And I'm sure there will be another program that will probably look at this as a guy who made a mistake when he was young and a chance to add a pretty good hockey player. Again, a guy who was drafted to the NHL. But Is it going to be Div 1? I doubt it. I think it's going to be a smaller program. And maybe that's what this guy needs right now, just to be humbled a little bit going forward and just some time to reflect. And I think there's going to be consequences on the ice too, Hernan. Like, there's a lot of people that are upset by what he did and how he's handled himself the last few years. People are, you know, he's put a target on his back for the next time he's out there on the ice. And that's just what's going to happen. And, you know, all that I've said, that I'm happy the Coyotes moved on. I'm happy North Dakota moved on. I still hope that this kid can figure it out and get back on track and learn from these things and be someone that can, I guess, speak on bullying one day and just say how it was wrong and learn from it. We've seen it in other sports. And the one that comes to mind for me was Michael Vick with the dog fighting. I mean, that's just disgusting what he did, but he served his time. He went back and he kind of became a voice for why it was wrong and was genuine about it and learned from his mistakes and accepted responsibility for all that happened. He did his time and he moved forward. And I think now we look at him and say, you know what, if that guy can turn it around to be someone that we look at and respect, and why can't Miller? So I think for Mitchell Miller now, it's all on him. He's got to grow up and grow up fast and start to take some responsibility and try to grow from it.
Moving on, Con Man, this just breaking as we're speaking, and it's wow. I want to get your take on this. The Ontario Hockey League, who did announce the start of February 4th with a shortened season, has announced that they will not have body checking this coming season. This coming from Lisa McLeod, Ontario's Minister of Sport. She confirmed the decision just minutes ago. McLeod said the decision was influenced by the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, which had several COVID-19 outbreaks on its team earlier this fall. I mean, Connor, why the hell even play? I mean, you're still beside these guys battling for pucks. Like, how is a body check any different than just playing with 10 guys on the ice?
Hernan, I have no idea. I'm actually just kind of looking at that right now. And it just seems really stupid to me. The body checking should be the least of their worries. There should be testing. There should be monitors, you know, being just things. Protocols being followed to try to keep them away from people, contract chasing, all of that sort of thing. But to eliminate body checking, I mean, that just seems a little bit over the top. I don't know how you play hockey that way. These guys have been playing their whole lives trying to be physical, and to just eliminate body checking from junior hockey, like that honestly makes no sense. And part of me wants to see how it would actually play out. You know, if you rub a guy out into the corner, is that going to be a 2-minute penalty? Like, what would you actually do? Have they announced how they would try to get rid of it? Because there's no way that players are going to stop body checking. That's just that to me comes from someone who's never seen the game or doesn't watch the game close enough to start making decisions about that kind of stuff, because you just can't do it.
Yeah, like, what if you bump into the guy accidentally? Like, it's going to happen. Like, this is, if you want no body checking, you can't play hockey. You can't, because on the face off, the two guys will be, you know, head to head, right? A scrum in front of the net. You're celebrating a goal. You're hugging your teammates. Like, what's the difference? Like, I truly don't understand this. And I'm already seeing the backlash on Twitter.
Well, and like Hernan, throw a situation at you. Guys on a breakaway, are you not supposed to chase them down? Trying to get in front, get body position? Like any situation, there's a power play. You're going to let little Johnny just stand in front of your goalie and not try to move him out of the way? It doesn't work. And if that's going to be a stipulation in hockey, then don't play hockey, because there's no point. It makes no sense.
They might change this decision, because I just can't see the coaches or the owners of the teams or the players even saying, like, how is this even possible? It'll be very boring hockey also, Connor, heading forward. But, you know, the Hockey Hall of Fame announced today that there will be no inductions to the class of 2021, with those selected in 2020 to be honored during the 2021 induction week. And they say, like, they want to honor them the right way. Like, they don't want to do it through, you know, Zoom calls and with nobody in the stands and all that. And it's the right decision, because to be entered into the Hall of Fame is such a huge honor. And I think they made the right call.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Hernan. For the guys nominated and Kim St. Pierre, I mean, it's obviously disappointing. You probably want to get that done sooner than later. It's quite the honor to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but you also want to do it the right way. And to do it over Zoom, like you say, I mean, I tell you right now, I'd rather be doing this conversation right now face-to-face than over the Zoom like we're doing it. It's just, it's not quite as great. So as for a moment like that, and I think part of it's the spectacle, right? Like Marian Hossa, Jerome McGinley, Kevin Lowe, Doug Wilson, Ken Holland, Kim St. Pierre, they want to go mingle. They want to be there with other Hockey Hall of Famers, talk about it, go to Toronto, celebrate, have a beer, have a glass of wine, with the people they're going in with and the other prestigious members. So I absolutely, this is the right call. I think you delay it a year, wait till we figure this whole thing out and try to get a cure for it. And then you have the ceremony. Cause yeah, you're right. It would be so weird if it was done virtually. We've seen a lot of award shows and things like that done that way. It's just not cool. It's not as good. It's entertaining for the time being, but for an honor like this, absolutely delay it, wait a year, figure out what we can and try to make it work next year. 100%.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Joined by Connor Halley from the Jason Gregor Show on TSN 1260.
Yeah, I think they made the right call. So they'll honor the guys from this year, and that includes Kevin Lowe, which will be great to watch there. Another Edmonton Oiler heading to the Hall of Fame. Connor, you know what's funny? You know, I've done this podcast all week, and you know, you work at TSN 1260, and Alex Galchenyuk signed this week with the Ottawa Senators, which I thought was a great deal, you know, for 1 year, just over $1 million. This guy's a fascinating player. I mean, he's had good years. He scored 30 goals once. You know, he's been around that 40 to 50. 50 range. The last two seasons hasn't been too good. He's heading to his fifth team. Of course, he was the third overall pick in the Yakupov draft. First of all, when you look at Galchenyuk, why hasn't he been, I don't want to say not figured out, because he has put up points, but why does he keep going from team to team? Like, if you had to put, you know, maybe one or two things on why Galchenyuk continues to move throughout the NHL.
Man, that's a really good question. It's tough to specifically put your finger on. I mean, it's relatively good. The guy stays healthy. He's productive. There's not too many guys who've scored 30 goals in the NHL out there that, you know, would be willing to sign for $1 million and still be out there on, you know, whatever day it was into free agency. It was a later move. And like you said, a great signing for the Ottawa Senators, like low risk, but very high reward potential for another 30 goal season there. Like that would be a huge signing for what you paid for him. I honestly have no idea. And, you know, maybe he just doesn't fit in with the guys. Like it's tough to speculate because I don't want to go after his character or anything, but it is really perplexing. I remember with Dougie Hamilton, there was the stories about how he maybe didn't have the same interest as the guys in the Calgary Flames and didn't want to go to Moxie's or whatever, went to a museum instead and just didn't fit in with the group. And it's for an outsider, I don't think it's fair to speculate on what it might be, but when you see the production that he's had, he's seemingly a constant 50-point scorer. I mean, he's still young. He can put the puck in the net. He doesn't get injured, or it is not really injury-prone or anything like that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So there has to be something more to it. And maybe for Galchenyuk, it's, you know, especially with free agency, just trying to find that right fit, wanting to go to a team where maybe there's not quite as much pressure with the Ottawa Senators, maybe trying to go to a team where it is in the rebuild, but he wants to be there from the start. I think that, you know, just looking at it, I try to lean to that side that maybe it's his decision, you know, that obviously the trades wouldn't be, but hitting free agency, trying to find a spot that's ideal for him. You hope that's it. And I hope it's not something personal that teams have against him.
And he's only 26, Connor. Like it's
you're right. Yeah. He's still young.
Crazy to think that he's going into his fifth team and he's still trying to find like his role on the team. And is he a center? Is he a winger? So I think Ottawa's a good spot. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there with such a young team. And
well, and Hernan, like just going back to that draft class, I mean, he scored the second most points from it, you know?
Yeah.
Other than Philip Forsberg, he's been the second most productive player in that draft class. And that may speak more to the class around him. There's a lot of names that looking back at where you're thinking, oh man, I thought this group would be a lot better, but he's played 549 games. He's been one of the most productive players from that draft class, but for whatever reason, just bounces around.
Well, just look at his last 3 years, 19, 19, and 17 goals. I mean, any team would take that. And it's funny the criticism he gets. And again, you know, from Montreal to Arizona to the Penguins and then to the Wild last season. But this guy's skill, there's a player there, you know, outside of last season, he's always been over 40 points. And like we said, he's got that 130 goal season and 120 goal season. So, I mean, this is a guy I kind of looked at for the Oilers before free agency started off. Obviously, they went another another route with Turris and Ennis and Barry, which I'm totally okay with, Connor, but Galchenyuk is one that makes sense. Are you at all surprised at the remaining free agents left still that they haven't signed? And when I say remaining, you know, the big names like a Mike Hoffman, Mikael Granlund.
Yeah, I mean, I think 100% it's on the players. I think, you know, what's the rush to go back? We don't even know when the season's going to start. That's, we don't know what you know, how much the percentage of their contract they'll be paid with a shortened season. Like, I just think there's so much uncertainty. And for some guys, it might be different. I mean, if you're a fringe NHL player, you probably want to get that deal done, be locked in, and know your future. But, you know, the guys you listed off, and for me, Mike Hoffman stands out. I mean, what's the rush? The guy's a 25 to 30 goal scorer. He's proven in the NHL. He's made a lot of money. And he knows his next contract will probably be bigger. But just look at some of the other guys. I mean, Taylor Hall signed a one-year deal. And I think Tyson Barrie, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty going into the future of the NHL because of the pandemic and the effects that it might have. So I don't blame these guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Hoffman's the same way. Sign a one-year deal somewhere and honestly try to win. Like, the Taylor Hall one threw me off. No disrespect to Buffalo, maybe it's a team on the rise and he believes in it. Playing with Jack Eichel would be pretty cool. But if I'm Mike Hoffman and I can sign a one-year deal with a Colorado or something like that, you know, where you have a chance to win and play with some strong players and boost your stats if you can, that's the way to do it. And then next year going into free agency, see what happens, see how things are looking, and maybe there's more certainty around the NHL and what's going to happen going forward. But right now, I think for sure it's players just waiting and seeing what's going to happen, seeing, you know, how it's going to play out, when's the season going to start. And I think once we find out that hard date when the season's going to start, when camps will open up, I think then you'll see these players looking to sign contracts a little quicker. But yeah, if you missed that initial wave where more of the money was being handed out, now I just think, what's the rush?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I know on my other podcast we were talking about maybe these players are feeling a little nervous, and I was like, I just don't see it that way. I think Hoffman, like you said, we have no idea when the next season's going to start, if there's going to be a season, and he's probably got multiple offers on the table, and he's just waiting and waiting to see, you know, where he wants to go, what situation's going to be, because we don't know if it's going to be a, you know, like a 2-week bubble and then you go home and all that. So there's so much still left. Joined by Connor Halley from the Jason Gregor Show on TSN 1260. One last one for you here, Connor, as I know you got to get ready for your show. Joey Moss passed away on Monday. Very sad news, but the outpour of love and memories and stories about Joey Moss just puts a smile on your face as this has been a tough week.
Yeah, Hernan. And when it first happened, it almost didn't really seem real. Like, it broke late on our show on Monday, and the immediate conversation Gregor, Struds, Awanek, and myself were having was, we got to go long. Like, we can't just stop the show. We've got to reflect on his life, because he inspired so many people. You know, he was just a staple of the Edmonton sports scene, and you know, doing all that he did with his disability. I grew up in this city, and I remember my parents pointing out Joey Moss as someone who, you know, he had Down syndrome and thrived through it, and, you know, someone that was a role model to so many people and did a lot of really good work. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I tweeted it out, and the following Tuesday, the amount of guests we had on the station and the big name guys that were, you know, more than willing to take time out of their day to talk about a friend and someone that a lot of them looked at as a teammate. It was really eye-opening and kind of showed just how important he was to the Oilers and to the Eskimos, the Edmonton Football Club. You and I have been booking shows for a long time. Sometimes it's tough to track guys like that down. The big name players, they're busy. They've got a lot going on, but as soon as we mentioned, we just want to, you know, share some fun stories with Joey Moss and talk about your memories of him. Like, it was instant. Sure, what time do you need me? And that's unique. And I thought it really showed that he was just a really special guy to so many people. And it's a huge loss for the city of Edmonton and the hockey world. And he will be missed, obviously.
Come on, man. Always a great time talking to you. I know we'll chat tomorrow on the Corey Graham Show Saturday afternoon. Have a good show, buddy.
Anytime, Hernan. Thank you very much for having me on. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the CG Show Saturday afternoon.
Big shout out once again to Connor Halley for joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast as we talked about the Mitchell Miller story. Of course, Arizona letting him go, as well as the University of Dakota. That was an announced earlier today. We'll see what happens with this story. I do believe in second chances. And I think the important thing that we have to remember here is that the victim has been acknowledged. And that's the most important thing in my eyes. So tough story to read. We'll see what happens moving forward. Like I mentioned, the OHL has announced there will be no body checking for this upcoming season. I'm blown back by this. I have no idea why not. I mean, the players are going to be in close contact anyway. It just makes absolutely no sense. And I get it. The queue is a bit of a mess. It is. And I'll have more on that just here in a few minutes. But it's kind of pointless and misguided what the OHL is doing. And just to add to that, the queue just announced that following constructive meeting with public health officials held earlier today, the queue announces the postponement of games for teams located in the red zone until further notice. All games planned for this weekend will be rescheduled. The rest of the regular season schedule will be reevaluated next week. However, Quebec public health officials have shown an openness to a potential bubble project for teams located in the red zone. So yeah, trouble there in the queue. I mean, cases are rising all over Canada and the US, and it's going to be a mess. You're going to get positive cases. So I just don't know how no body checking limits the spread of COVID when you're battling with these guys regardless on the ice. You know, you're sharing dressing rooms with your teammates. I just don't know how body checking is being looked at as more dangerous here. I don't know. They might change it. I don't know. But as of Friday, that's the decision made for the OHL. Just some quick hitters here before we get out for the weekend, Halloween weekend. Of course, the Hockey Hall of Fame to make no 2021 induction so they can properly honor the 2020 Hall of Fame inductees. This is a great decision there by the Hockey Hall of Fame. Just a few small signings. Of course, the Maple Leafs have brought back Michael Hutchinson as they sign him to a two-year, two-way contract with an AAV of $725,000 at the NHL level. The Leafs also signed restricted free agent Joey Anderson to a three-year, $2.25 million contract extension. The deal, which carries an AAV of $750,000 at the NHL level, and it's a two-way contract in the first 2 years and a one-way in the final. And that's pretty much it for NHL news. We're still waiting for the Hoffman signing. Granlin, where will he go? And on some sad news also, as reported yesterday, it's been a sad week with the passing of Joey Moss and now Travis Roy, the Boston University hockey player who was paralyzed 11 seconds into his first college shift and went on to be a motivational speaker and advocate for the disabled. He passed away yesterday at the age of 45. Very sad. And I'm old enough to remember that, and it was just so sad. But the way he kept going, and like the report says, he was a motivation for many. Very, very sad week in terms of the hockey community. All right, it's the weekend. We'll be back next week. We're gonna cut down the podcast as there's not a lot of news. So we're gonna go to 2-3 a week. Of course, if stuff does break, we will jump on right away. But yeah, there won't be 4 or 5 pods for the month of November. There will be podcasts, but just not as many as we saw in the last couple of months. Up until we get the season up and running, then we'll be back to a full schedule. Keep those downloads coming. I truly appreciate it. You can connect with me on Twitter at HernandTheMan, at LockedOnOilers. And more importantly, don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. It's Halloween weekend. Please be safe out there. It's not the time to go to a huge party. I mean, come on, people. Let's be safe. Let's get these numbers down so we can get back to living normal lives. Halloween, don't go crazy. Please be safe out there and look out for the little ones as well. For the Locked On Oilers podcast, I'm Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. We'll chat next week.